Now, I've been teaching on demonism. Well, actually, I just started on it Wednesday night. We taught a lot of different subjects in here, but I just feel impressed to get on demonism because we're talking about it over the radio in Deliverance, and we're causing quite a stir, to say the least. And see, that's another fear. Fear of false doctrine. Fear of this, fear of that. And if anybody wants the tapes after this, you know, there's going to be a couple of them. You can get the tapes, but I'm not going to go back over what I talked the other night. But we talked about some things about that Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, for Paul to say that, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, which means Paul must have studied Satan. And this is another fear. People say, well, if you dwell on too much on Satan, you're going to get off. That's another fear. Well, I don't have that particular kind of fear working in me because I feel like we need to study the enemy. We need to study him out. We need to know how he works. We need to know how he operates. Because he operates in a way to trap us and ensnare us and subtly come along and deceive us. That's the way he is. And if we're not aware of his devices, that's why the Christian church is in a mess it's at today, because they're not aware of his devices. But if we're aware of how he works, then we don't need to be afraid of him, do we? And see, we get afraid and we get fear in us because we're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of things we don't know anything about. Once he's exposed and he's brought into the light, why fear him?
That's right.
People are afraid of the dark. Why? Because they don't know what's in the dark. But when the light's on, they're not afraid. And that's the way it is in Christ. When the light is turned on, you see him for what he is. Why be afraid? Now, go to Mark, the 16th chapter. Now, we talked the other night about putting on the whole armor of God. Why we need the armor of God is you put the armor on when you go into battle. And civilians don't wear armor. Mark 16. I bind you up, fear, tonight in Jesus' name. I curse your works, devil. You're not stopping anything tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ defeats you. Do you know that sometime when I get up here to teach, I have waves of fear come over me just by teaching this? And I'm very aware of those, the presence and that aura of exposing a little more of him. See, he puts that intimidation out like, well, you better not expose anymore. Praise God. But we're going to expose more. Okay, Mark 16th chapter, verse 17, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Praise God. Notice how casting out of devils and tongues are kind of associated with one another. I mean, they kind of follow, you know, one another. And it goes on to talk about some other things in the spirit world. Now, this is not deep, and this is not new, and this is not far-fetched. This is pretty simple, what we're going to teach on, because I believe in keeping it as simple as I can. And just kind of going over, this is pretty much a study. It ain't no preaching tonight, because we just need some of these little things. Some of you are new, and you haven't heard this. But in the New Testament, which we're reading in, the Greek word for demon, now I'm not a Greek scholar, so some of these words I really don't know how to pronounce them. You know, we're used to pronouncing English words, but when it comes to pronouncing Greek words, I'm kind of lost. But I suppose the word is daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N-I-O-N. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's how it's spelled. But that's the Greek word for demon, is daimon or daimon. And there's a root word of that which goes back to daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N. Okay? Praise God. And, of course, in the King James Version, which I like the best, the Greek word daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N-I-O-N, is often translated as devil. Okay? Praise God. Now, of course, the word devil is formed from the Greek word Diabolos, D-I-A-B-O-L-O-S, which means slanderer. That's what Satan is. He's called a slanderer. That's one of his many natures. He's got a few. Praise God. And of course, it refers to Satan himself. And then I'm just giving a little thing here. And then, of course, the noun D-A-I-M-O-N-I-O-N, demonin, is the passive verb, demonized or something like that, I suppose.
Demonized?
No, it isn't demonized, but it goes back to the word to be demoned or to be demonized. Now, this is what I'm trying to get across, and this is where the big argument and the big fight is, that when you say a Christian can have a demon, people freak out. A lot of people freak out and say, oh, that's false doctrine. Oh, brother, you're off the deep end. You're not off the deep end. It's not false doctrine. Now, I have never taught a Christian can be possessed of the devil. And this, they continue to throw this at me that I'm teaching this. I've never taught it, not one time. I do not believe a Christian can be demon possessed. I do believe Christians can be demonized. And demonized goes back to spirits living in the soul realm of a Christian and non-Christian. And, of course, the argument goes on. I'm not going to get on the old argument, but the argument goes, well, light can't dwell with darkness. Of course it can. It does all the time. You know, Satan has access to God's throne. They hear the old dark buzzard comes up there and it stands right by the master of light, and they sit there and have a communication all the time. There's no good communication, but they can converse back and forth. Well, it's the same thing. But Christians will admit that they have a filthy, rotten, low-down, carnal, Adamic nature that's full of sin if they yield to it. Well, is that not darkness? But to have a spirit, they freak out. Ha ha, unscriptural, unscriptural. I don't see a bit of difference in having a nasty little spirit or having that filthy, ugly, corrupt nature inside that is prone to sin all the time. What's the difference? It's still darkness. And this, people get all afraid when you talk about demons. You know why? Fear. It boils down to fear again. People, we don't have to fear this. We need to study this. We need to see if it's true or not. If we got into the Word and see if it's true, then we can do some things about it. You know, counseling is old hat anymore. You can't counsel spirits out, but yet people like to sit around and get counsel. Well, I agree. I like to counsel. I believe counseling is necessary, but counseling is only half of it. Once you counsel, let's do something about it, for heaven's sake. So not people, let's not prescribe prescriptions to go get them drugged up. That's what people do. Give them a couple pounds of this and, you know, let them take it. You know, I was just saying this morning in prayer meeting, we had a man that come in here. He's a Nazarene boy. He come in here today very deeply depressed. He was very talented. And he says, I'm just at my wit's end. I can't take another day. And he's sitting pouring all this stuff out on us 2 hours. We told him those are demons. Those are spirits of depression and oppression. There's spirits of suicide. He said, I'm just about on the verge of killing myself, blah, blah. We've heard this many times. He went down the whole list. Well, we already discerned what they were, and we tried to tell him they were spirits. Well, he didn't reject the ideal, but he didn't totally embrace it either. And we come in here, we pray for him a little bit, but he wouldn't actually let loose. And this is what I'm telling you, in deliverance, let loose. Well, he held back because, obviously, the headship he sits in don't believe this at all. But he was getting no help in that church. He couldn't confess to us he was getting no help. Nobody would fellowship him. He had a spirit of rejection on top of that. Everywhere he went, people rejected him. Wow, that spirit in him. And we named off all these spirits. And we prayed over him a little bit. He had a couple of deliverances, nothing fabulous. And he's on prescription to keep his balance. And that's what they've done for him. This counseling business is what I'm getting at. What's it done for? He gets up in the morning, pops pills, goes to bed, pops pills. Gets up, pops pills to keep his balance. When all the time it's a stinking spirit that needs to be cast out. Why in the world did Jesus Christ say, cast out demons in my name? Oh, that's for the sinners. Then why aren't you out doing it to the sinners? Why cast them out of sinners? They got no covering. Demons come right back. The Bible plainly tells us that. It's no use in doing that. It's for God's people. Deliverance is the children's bread. How much plainer can we get on that? It's for us. Salvation didn't get rid of all our spirits that we picked up in the world. But yet that's a general idea. Oh, it's salvation. I got rid of everything. except this, 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 this. They'll name up all these symptoms, and they're nothing but spirits. I feel all bound up. There's a spirit of bondage. Well, I don't have to get all that and convince you. You know this. But last night a call was made here. The boy tried to commit suicide, just as we figured he would. We said, if you don't get yourself right, you're going to try to commit suicide. 2 days later, or about a week later, here he tried it. You know what they did? They gave him a little higher dose, hoping it would do good. He took four times over what he should. Now he's in the hospital. He pumped his stomach out. Now, I know how suicide demons work. And I know how depression works. I had that spirit. I know. It's very real. I live with it. And it'll take you down. That's what it means. It'll kill you. And, of course, it just about killed him. Now, I hope it's a lesson to him. We told him, get out from that stupid covering. They don't believe this, and come out from under that. Get out of it. Well, you know, his family's in it, and he goes way back, a history of preachers out of it. Well, that's how it is, tradition. They know God way off there, but they don't know him here. You know, and it bothers me when people come here. They know we work in deliverance. And when they come over here and want to argue it, I don't have time to argue it. It seems funny, don't it? I said, look at the list up there. He happened to notice the list. It says, be honest with God and yourself. Realize that the Spirit of God will direct your deliverance and not you, which means us. When we're working with people, God will direct us what your problem is because we rely on God to do that. If we say you've got a spirit of suicide, depression, and rejection, you've got it. You just got it. And it says, some deliverances take longer than others. Be patient with yourself. People come in here, oh, I've got all this. I want to immediately cast out. Well, okay, fine. They can be cast out, but you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. If you're going to hang on to those things, then what good does it do to cast them out? You can't cast them out. Demons have legal rights in us. Okay, now the word demon, it means demonized. Which means you can have demons. Well, that may sound too brutal. Let's call them evil spirits. Praise God. Which goes back to the word being vexed. Now remember what it says that the girl was vexed of a devil? Which we, like Jesus cast out the devil? It's, you know, I don't know how people can miss this. Praise God. But it's very simple. And we need to understand the tactics of the devil, and we're learning all the time some tactics of him. And of course, some of the biggest tactics, he'll say, well, I don't really exist. Isn't that a good one? We've had spirits speak out of people and say, I'm not in here. Leave me alone. Or we've had them say, I've gone already. As if we're going to believe that. Come on. But see, they'll use anything to get you off their trail. And Satan's number one tactic, people, is your soul realm. It's in your mind. Now tell me, is that not where your problems are, is in your mind? Now, of course, demons can live in the body. Jesus cast out spirits that afflicted people's bodies. We know that. But the mind, he wants to control mind, because if he controls your mind, he's got you and he can possess you. And as long as you've got Christ in you and you're yielding to Christ, he can't control you. But the minute you start yielding to him, he can finally control you. This is how people go off, Christians, born again, Holy Ghost filled. I can get on into this, baptized in water in Jesus' name or whatever you want to say. Some of them commit suicide. Now, we've known a case here we've talked about again this morning. Another one blew his brains out here last year. That my wife ministered to that person, said he's got demons. They would not believe it. And the church he went to didn't believe it. And he was a great counselor, a young kid. He ended up going to his sister's bedroom, blowing his brains out because he couldn't get any help. They said, oh, well, let's just counsel him. Let's prescribe pills for him. Yeah, it did. And finally, he's in a grave right now. And we run across this continually. And people will sometimes send them over here and they'll come over here arguing that Christians can't have demons, but yet there they are, demonized. See? If you want deliverance, you can get deliverance. But some are worse than others. Some people are more vexed than others. It depends on your background. You know, if you've been a good guy and you didn't dabble too much in sin, well, you're not maybe, you know, you may not have some struggles out there, but if you've been a Satanist, and again, the other night after service, this Satanist girl called us. I'm going to commit suicide. Well, you know, I didn't get too excited, but I didn't reject the idea because I know that spirit would drive her to commit suicide. And she said, she asked me a question. If I commit suicide, will I go to hell? I said, yeah, that's murder. All murder is going to have their place in the lake of fire. I think she put the pills down after that. She was stoned as it was. But we told her, you got demons. She was in a cult. She lived with a Satanist high priest. What do you expect? She was heavily in the occult. She was been to the palm reader. She'd been to all these things. And she's demonized. I think she did give her life to Christ, but she said, I gave my life to Christ, but nothing's happened. Why? She's demonized.
Right.
She needs deliverance. Oh, away with ignorance, man, and theory. Throw it in the garbage can and put the lid on it. It does nothing for people. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. Now, we're going to go to some very familiar scriptures. Second Corinthians, 10th chapter. I bet everybody that's gone a little way in warfare knows these scriptures. 10th chapter, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now Paul was saying we walk in the flesh. In other words, we're not walking in carnality. He's walking in the flesh is in humanity, his body. He said, I walk around in the flesh. You know, he had two legs, and I'm sure he had two arms. We do not war after the flesh. In other words, we don't pick up literal swords and fight one another. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. Now, I want you to notice, all I'm doing is bringing out a point how Satan works. If you don't know this by now, then you flunked out. Verse 5, he says, casting down imagination. Now, where does imaginations come from?
Body.
Does it come out of your body? It comes out of your mind. This is where it is, up here. Well, I don't know if it's up here. It seems like it's all up here. I don't know where your soul is. Some people say it's in the back of your spine. Other people say it's in your stomach. I don't know where your soul is. But your soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And those things affect your whole makeup. We know that the spirit of a Christian is sealed unto the day of redemption, don't we? When you're bought with a price and you accept Christ in your heart, your spirit is born again, which was dead. It come alive with Christ being in it. And God said, I'm going to seal it until the day of redemption, until your resurrection. I'm sealing that with a seal of promise. I'm putting something around it. I'm hedging it about. The demons can't possibly get in to get to your spirit, but they play havoc with your soul realm. They can't possess your spirit, but they can come in anytime they want to, anytime you open the door into your soul realm. Now, this is where they attack. Your mind, your will, your emotions. But they can't come in anytime they want to unless you let them in. But that doesn't omit them being there when you get saved. How many knows when you get saved, it's not a bed of roses? Why? What's the warfare going on in? Oh, it's just the old flesh. Well, what's the flesh? I'm trying to teach this over the radio. What's the flesh? What motivates the flesh? What's that active part in the flesh that causes our problems? Is it just the flesh? But what is the flesh? What's it consist of? What's the gasoline that keeps the motor running in it? Well, what motivates our spirit that's born again? Is it Christ? Is it His spirit? Well, then what motivates the flesh? Whose spirit is that? Praise God. Okay, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. Now, do you know when you're in war, you bring things into captivity or be led into captivity? Now, this again, people, is a warfare in the mind realm. Either Satan will captivate you in your mind and bring you into captivity to his will and his control, or you're going to fight back and bring him in subjection, put him under your feet and control him. That's one or the other.
Amen.
This is what means by pulling down strongholds and putting Satan and putting your enemies under your feet and hold them there. The feet represent dominion. That's what David did to Goliath. He stood up on that giant and put his feet upon him. That's what David did to his mighty enemy. He said, I'm going to place my feet on the necks of my enemies. That means dominion. Now, deliverance is not all there is. Once you get delivered, there's a dominion walk. There's a warfare walk. There's a walk in the spirit, brother, that you command your enemies. No longer are you led around by your mind and your will and your emotions. I was led around for years by a spirit of depression. God, help me. I remember how miserable I was. I was miserable as a sinner. That's what I almost committed suicide as a sinner. I took so many stinking pills and smoked so much pot and took so much LSD, I thought, well, if I get to a certain plane, bless God, I'll reach that place that these holy masters are saying there's a place of bliss. Ah, baloney. There's no place of bliss up there unless you're totally possessed of the devil. Then you become a vegetable. But when I got to be a Christian, it didn't go away. Oh, I had dominion over it because I had Christ. But finally, God revealed to me it was nothing but a spirit of depression. It was actually a living spirit living in me. It kept me depressed. You know, I walked over it a lot of time, but still it was there, always nagging. Why don't you be depressed? Everything go wrong, you automatically just flood it in and you get depressed. How many knows what I'm talking about? You may not have that problem, but I had that problem. And I walked through, I've been in prayer lines, I used to fight this thing. I thought, my God, Christian walk, there's got to be more. There's a missing element in my walk with you. What is it? They used to tell me, crucify your flesh. Well, you know the old saying, you know, you crucify your flesh till you got nail prints all up and down your arm. You've hung on the cross so many times trying to die out to something that was a demon. It never worked. And neither does it work for anybody else. Nobody dies to anything. Now, God spoke to me one time and said there's a misconception about crucifixion and dominion. He told me about this. He said the term crucifying your flesh or dying out, it means you become a lesser degree. He said nothing really dies. It becomes a lesser degree. You take dominion over it, and then theoretically speaking, it becomes a lesser degree. It becomes less strength to where you rule over it instead of letting it rule over you. That's how it seemingly works. But, you know, sometime that thing will pop back up again, just as strong as ever. You thought, oh, I've got it in the grave. It's finally dead. 2 weeks later, there it is. That ugly thing staring you in the face again. Well, I thought I'd died out to it. Well, son, you just need to fast a little bit more. Well, you fast. Well, you need to pray more. Well, you pray. You do all these things, and still I got no relief from this thing. But finally, when God brought us in deliverance 3 years ago, He showed me it was a spirit. He began to teach us about demons. I thought, this is unreal. I never heard this before. You mean I got spirits? I got kind of offended. How dare you? I did. I got mad at God. Wouldn't speak to Him all one night. He named off 6 spirits that I had, and I got really offended. I almost blushed. And He told me how to go get rid of them. I refused to do it. Because my wife is there. It was just her and I in a prayer. I thought, I don't want her to know my past. This is embarrassing. And I got mad at God, and I wouldn't speak to Him all night. And I got up in the morning going to pray, you know, as we've been trained. And you know what happened? You know who was at the table when I got there? God. Sitting right there, I said, son, are you going to obey me? I didn't sleep a wink all night. I was tossing and turning, and I knew I had some problem. I thought, you know, surely, God, you're deceiving me on this. Well, anyway, He named off those 6 things again. He told me how to go get rid of them. I'd never been delivered of anything. So I obeyed God, and I got some relief. And that was the beginning of deliverance ministry. First hand. I didn't read any books. No one taught me anything. God did. This happened in our own prayer time. And boy, I thought, man, this is great. Why didn't I know this before? I started feeling so good, I thought I wanted to get everybody on this. And then we attacked some other people. Not mentioning any names. Praise God. But God showed me that that spirit of depression was like a filthy cloak. He described it to me. Now, if you can believe this, God was speaking to us. He described it as like a filthy cloak. He says, like, you put it on, and then you take it off. You put it on, and He said, it's filthy in my sight. He said, I want you to take that thing off. I said, I want you to go in there and take 3 baths. I don't know why 3. Now, this is before we even knew how to call out demons. We would just went through the motions, believing God knew what He was talking about. I went in and took 3 baths. Now, God said, I have taken that spirit off you. I've cleansed you of depression. I said, I don't want you to ever embrace it again. Well, for years, from when I was a little baby all up until 3 years ago, I was used to embracing depression. So I felt good a couple weeks. I thought, my God, this is wonderful. I felt light. I just didn't have it coming around. But one day, guess what? I was leaning against the old counter for some odd reason. I think it was worrying over some bills or something. I don't know. I started sitting there, and I felt this thing come through the door. And it just kind of come right to the door, and the thing come right to me. And it just wanted to kind of start embracing me. Yeah, I started pondering over. I started getting depressed. I started yielding to that thing. God had already told me not to. My wife just about, she walked in about that time. She didn't know what was going on in my mind. She had no idea that I was doing anything. She walked into me and something come over here, and she turned around at me and wheeled, pointed her finger in my face, and God spoke right through her mouth and said, I dare you to embrace that harlot. God called it a harlot. She didn't know what was going on. I thought, my God, I've been caught. And God prophetically began to instruct me and tell me exactly what happened. That woman had come through the door. You know, he described it as a woman, this spirit of depression, that I had used to embracing it. You know how you embrace something? And he said that spirit had come through, and there I was about ready to embrace that thing. And I said, I want you to command it to get out of here and never come back. Well, that's how we learned about some deliverances. And of course, they got deeper and deeper as we went on. We began to cough things out. God began to show us that they was in here, and they began to come out that way. But we went through the motions of just actually taking clothes on, putting them on, this kind of stuff, and taking dominion over our enemies, literally just standing over us, still seemed funny in our prayer. God said, put your feet down on your enemies that's bothering you, march around this room, command them under your feet. I was glad nobody's looking, because we used to march around the house and these things, all these things in the body, we just command them under our feet. The more we'd pray, the stronger we'd get, and pretty soon we'd yell at the top of our voice. Everything was bothering, we'd just get furious. Everything would torment, you know, you just want to get back and tear it apart. That's the kind of spirit would come upon us. Boy, we'd march around, command everything we thought of under our feet. A couple hours, 3 hours sometimes, this would go on. Taking dominion, Bray. Boy, I mean, just putting them under our feet. Now, I tell you, it felt good, too. We still do that around here a whole lot, don't we? Still do it, because it still works. There's a dominion walk. It goes beyond just deliverance. Okay, go to flip on over to the 11th chapter. Verse 3, it says, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Again, the attack is on the minds. Satan is going to come in a subtle way and deceive you in your minds. So all I'm pointing out is a battleground is in your soul realm. This is where the demons stay. They stay in the soul realm. So when you attack spirits, you attack them in the soul realm and in the body realm. Praise God. Now, I'm going to mention four things here that we can do when you go into warfare. The first thing we do is declare our faith in Christ. Acknowledge that He is our Lord, He is our Savior, He's our baptizer, He's our healer. Anything you want to say He is to you, say it. That weakens the enemy. And you say it like you mean it, because, oh, Jesus, you know, He's my Savior. Like Alberto was saying, you know, living in sin, trying to use the name of Jesus. It's like if you're not committed to Christ, then you can't say He's your master, right? But if you know you're walking with God and you know your rights and privileges in Christ Jesus, you can boldly stand at the devil and say, listen, He's my master. He rules me. But if you're not letting Him rule over you, you're not going to rule over Him. That's how dominion works. And this is why Christians are so defeated, because they're not letting Christ be the Lord of their life. Therefore, they don't have power against some enemies. Oh, yeah, they can flick away a few cigarettes. They can put the snuff bottle up. You know, they can put the old wine back in the cabinet. They can do a few things. But I'm talking about some of those things that tear us apart. Some of those inward things. Unforgiveness. Oh, I just can't seem to forgive that brother. I hate the way he combs his hair. Well, if you didn't have hair, you'd have to worry about combing it.
Shave your head, bald.
I was listening the other day, people was telling me how they pictured me. You know, people listen to radio, they tell me how they pictured me. And some of them say, well, I pictured him as receding hairline. I pictured him as half bald with a big fat stomach and cowboy boots. And you should have heard some descriptions of people describing me. Well, you're not to know what I pictured you'd be like. Thank God. My wife would kick me out of the house, probably. I pictured this old oaky, you know, moss on your teeth and stuff like that. You know, you get all kinds of descriptions. Thank God my pride's crucified. I might have been offended. Okay, number two is renounce all allegiance to Satan. All. All. It don't mean you keep a little thing over here in your little side corner that you like to play with. I mean, it says all. God, I just love those soap operas. It says all.
That's
right.
You can't sit and watch soap operas and go on for God.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm talking about soap operas. Maybe there's somebody here watching soap operas. But if you are, you're not going to go on anywhere with God. You'll come to a certain point and you're dead. You think Christ wants you to sit and look at that garbage, that lovey-dovey, adulterous stuff, and then you're going to go come to church and say, oh, hi, I love Jesus. Forget you. God's going to say, turn from me, you wretch. God is a serious God. Just because we don't think the way He thinks, He thinks that way because He said a few things to us before and offended me. God, you get close to the Lord, He'll call you a few names. He's called us a few names. And they wasn't polite names either. Willy livered, weak-kneed jellyfish. You spineless worm. You think God don't talk that way? He does. Are you a man or are you a mouse? I'm a man, Lord. Oh, does He know how to just put you down just where you're at? Mm-hmm. But God wants us to renounce all our allegiance to Satan. I mean everything. If you were planning on going into this warfare, you planning on joining this last day move of God, this last day call, people, is an all-out commitment to God. There's no hanky-panky. There's no hocus-pocus in this thing. I'm sorry. We're entering into that Lord realm. And Lord means master. We're entering to that where He masters you and you master Satan.
Amen.
We're not. We passed the age of Christ. Let me clarify that. I'm in a new age world, you know. The age of Aquarius. It's here finally. Thank God. Now we can put it under our feet. I'm talking about growth. You can come in and you're on the Jesus realm. Savior. That means Jesus, Savior. He's your Savior. He saves you. Then you grow into the Christ realm, the Christian realm, where you come into the anointed. That's what it means, the anointed realm, where the gifts operate. You come into the Holy Ghost realm. But as you grow, you're going to enter into that Lord realm, where it means master. He masters you. And then you master Satan, because that's the only way you're going to master the old devil is through his strength.
Yeah.
Jesus, God says, all mine is thine.
Yeah.
And all thine is mine. This is a lordship realm. This is a sonship realm. This is the overcoming realm.
Amen.
This is what this last day move is entering into. I'm sorry, the charismatic is gone. It's over. It's had its fun, and it's left a big mess behind of compromised pudding. Somebody's going to eat it. But I tell you, it isn't going to be me because I don't like it. Soft as a gushy snail. Can't step on no toes. Got to give the saints some good shows. Can't preach it all the way because there'll be nobody left to pay. Is that not right? They play with the gifts like they're out on a beach party, you know, the ball, you know, back and forth, showing their stuff off. That was the Christ realm. It's passing. Now we're getting into that Lord realm, that full commitment, where it says no allegiance to Satan left. That means everything goes out the door. Your little trips you pull, your little secrets you hang on to, it's all over, folks. I'm sorry, I didn't make the rules. God did. That's what we're entering into. Do you have it, what it takes to get into that realm with God? I tell you, this is a realm where God strips every slice of flesh off you. Like I said, He'll take a knife and just skin you alive. And He'll pull off piece by piece. And not only that, He'll put on the frying pan and just let it cook. And then He'll take the ashes and shrink them out somewhere. And the only thing that's left standing is Christ within you. And that's what's supposed to be brought forth, the man child. It ain't going to be no flesh. It's going to be that man. It's going to be that one man. It's going to be that Christ walking the earth again. Man, I'm telling you, I look for that.
Amen.
And this is why God has had to clean us up. He's had to get us prepared. You can't go on for God and have all these things pouring at you, gnashing at you. It's time to clean the garbage can. Get rid of that stuff. It's been kicked out of church long enough. Deliverance has been, you know, kicked out a long time ago. Now the tongues, have you noticed Holy Ghost tongues are beginning to be put in the back room in a dirty bag? Now they say if you want to speak in tongues, go to the back room, they'll usher you out. I heard not too long ago they even kick you out now if you speak in tongues to the congregation. We've had them come in here and tell us that. I said, well, tough. If you don't like it, there's a door. We're speaking in tongues.
Amen.
They ain't going to take the power of God away from me. That's where the power is. Notice, cast out demons in my name and speak with new tongues. He didn't say it was gone. You put those two together and you got some war. The demons hate tongues. That's why they put them out. That stiff behind the pulpit, so he don't want to be offended. I tell you, people need to see the power of God again.
Amen.
That'll be the day when I put it in the back room. God forbid me to even do that. He said, you have it out there. You keep it out there, and I dare you to put it in the back room. I dare you to take deliverance out of them. Now, number three is put on the whole armor of God, the full armor. And number four, declare our firm stand in the battle. Now, we don't want to get on a battlefield and start wavering. Oh, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. You get on the front lines, you stand up there, and you stand bold, and you say, I dare you to come my way. Now, this is what God's looking for. And then you advance as He tells you to advance. You don't look to the left, you don't look to the right, you surely don't look backwards. And God will lead us into the battle. He'll lead us into victory. You don't run out there and put all your little stars and bars on your shoulder and act like some big way that you're going to win the whole war yourself. This is a group effort. This is a corporate effort. Because there's one head, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no head of flesh going to be entering in this realm. Praise God. Now, demons enter in because we give them entrance. Okay? You can be sitting in church. You can be sincere. You can be studying, praying, and fasting. You can do all the wonderful things. But if you open the door for Satan, he is coming in. Because he don't care if you're crippled, blind, or crazy. He'll come in. And that's how you get demonized, is open the door. And this is why we've got to shut the door on everything that Satan might enter in on. Praise God. And he comes in, of course we know, he comes in three ways. He can come in and control three ways. He can come in by sins of our fathers. How many knows that's scriptural? Sins of our fathers. It can be passed on down to us. We deal with these spirits all the time. That has been, we can't help it. They've come on down through the bloodline because that's the way they come in. I asked this kid, trying to commit suicide the other night. We asked him, well, what about your folks? Well, they had a history of depression. We know that. I mean, just by those spirits there. So they enter in through the bloodline. Number two, the way they can enter in is through your personal dabblings. Well, if you go home after church and go and seek in a crystal ball, what do you expect? Oh, crystal ball, am I going to be a great prophet? Yes, my son, you are. Thank you. Then you're out next day trying to prophesy. Oh, I get this cute game, for my kids, Dungeons and Dragons. Come on, kids, let's gang around. Let's play here. That sounds funny. Thousands of Christians are doing it. They're doing it they're doing it all the time. Do you know that they're playing Dungeons and Dragons in some churches? There's, I think, the biggest church in this town, not to mention Capital Christian Center's name. But I heard reports that on some of their family nights they're playing Dungeons and Dragons. And some of the other big churches are doing the same. They say, oh, it's good to think. It's good to learn about the Satan. Well, you're learning about Satan the wrong way. Go to your Bible. Now, that's a way you get demonized. God knows it happens, don't it? When we got on the cult tracks around here and riding on the yoke cult, listen, they come flooding around here. We don't invite them. They just come pouring in. And we have to, after a while, we have to have a literal bath. We just get out and have to get rid of some of these things. I don't know why they do it. We don't purposely open the door, but they do come in and we have to get delivered from them when we get in studying on some of these things. And many times I've gone over the sink and heaved up some spirits because I've got in and studied them. You just study them, but just by reading about it, they just come through. Now those things are powerful. And of course, the third way that we can get spirits is by curses. You can get cursed through witchcraft, through, I don't know, a lot of ways. And demons bring the curses on. That's what a curse is. It's demons. But the Bible says a curse shall not causeless come, right? In other words, they will come, but there's got to be a reason why they come. Praise God. So those are three ways that they can enter in. And this is why we've got to shut the door to everything that's going to let the demons in. And we've got to get rid of some of the things we picked up and carried around for a long time. Watching spooky movies. Praise God. Well, I feel like closing there and just get on into the bigger stuff. Glory to God. Devil, you are a filthy liar. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have power. We have dominion over you. We have the name of Jesus Christ. It's above every name. You're going to bow to that name. We have the blood of Jesus that is our shield and buckler. Lord, we have the Holy Ghost tongues that you can't even penetrate. We just put on the full armor of God tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we just prepare to go into battle. We ask that your mighty angels would line up for battle tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that they come in and apply the blood in this room. Apply the blood over our minds, our soul, our mind, our will in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that your angels would stand guard over and under us and around us, and that no other demons would come in for reinforcement. We bind them up tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We place a bubble of blood around about us, around this ministry tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We take a rightful position in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. We know our rights and privileges in Christ Jesus. Devil, we are Holy Ghost filled Christians. We're not afraid of you, Satan. We make war on you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your powers. We pull down your strongholds in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind up all spirits of fear in this room tonight. We command you, demons, to manifest and leave this room in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority over all spirits of fear. All spirits of fear. We bind you with the chains of the angels. We command you in the name of Jesus Christ to manifest. We command you to manifest and leave the people tonight. Every one of you, demons of fear, I command you out of this room. You loose your hold on the people and leave. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to get out of the people tonight. All spirits of fear, you manifest and leave. Spirits of fear, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of intimidation, spirits of afraidness, in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to leave this room. Leave the people's bodies in the name of Jesus. I command you out. I command you out. Spirits of fear. Spirits of fear. We tap you from the third heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to manifest and leave. Manifest and leave this room in the name of Jesus. Under the seat of our side of the here. The blood is against you. The blood of Jesus Christ is against you. You can't stand in the face of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to leave the people. Leave the people. Out of the spirits of confusion, I command you to manifest. Loose your whole spirits of darkness, spirits of bitterness, spirits of depression, spirits of oppression, spirits of shortcut. I command you to manifest and leave the people. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus Christ. Under the sheep of the hand of God, we take authority over you. We take authority over you, demons, in the name of Jesus. Come on, people, press on in. Press on in. Make war against those things. Make war against them. Come on, don't let them get you down. Get out and war with them. Under the son of our spirits of fear, leave us room. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to manifest and leave. Come on, everybody in here, pray. Everybody in here, pray. We attack you, devil, from the